recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got the government and chosen by the mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Now,
yeah.
Yesterday, we were talking about Dunning-Kruger.
Yes. I know I brought it up before because I was preoccupied with it.
You have, but I was tuned out.
Yeah.
The effect.
All right. So it's essentially, it's thought of as somebody.
Now, this started because you sat down with millennials.
Yeah, a bunch of millennials. And I started, and they contemplated that they were experts in everything. And when I would sort of scratch the surface, they not only announced that they could deal with it because they had access to information and they knew best. They didn't trust anybody who was an expert.
But now, true. But now, Drew, you have a certain Achilles heel for people that claim to be experts, because I think you have a sort of cry that I put in all this time.
That cry?
Yes. And I'm not taken seriously as a diet, blah, blah, blah. I know you hate that. You've always hated that.
No.
So, no, hold on.
Yes, you're right.
Yes.
But
so I don't want to color this with that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't think you should either. And I'm not disdainful of it. I'm actually scared of it a little bit.
I just don't want to inflate it, is what I'm saying. That's a hard thing to separate yourself from.
No, what I'm trying to figure out is, why am I scared then? I mean, what is it? What is my piece in this?
We can agree that we don't like – we can agree that when you announce you know things, then you don't have to absorb things and you don't have to change or be coached up or
– it's very frustrating.
Or anything.
It's frustrating.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, and particularly when knowledge and wisdom and information are all confused. Because in other words, you can have information and know nothing. Right?
Yeah, but I think there's a math that people don't do, which I was thinking about, sort of talking about out loud the other day, which is when you tell people you're doing it wrong and then they defend whatever it is they're doing, or your opinion's wrong and they defend it,
yeah.
They're not really defending their position. They're defending being dumb.
They're defending the feeling of being wrong, as opposed to
the feeling of being wrong.
As opposed to going, please help expand my understanding of things.
What's
the evidence? Where does that go?
We need a new relationship with being wrong, because you have always had the posture with wrong, which is, please help. Thank you for pointing this out to me.
Yes.
And that now I shall take that information and get better.
Yeah, and expand and maybe
and
get
and
more accurate. And, yeah, of course.
Many people look at it as an attack.
Which is weird.
Well, but here's the thing, Drew, as I clench my teeth together.
Yes, tell me. Expand my knowledge base.
I don't feel like you ever feel insecure about your intelligence. You feel insecure about many other things under the sun.
Thank you.
But you don't feel insecure about intelligence. So that when somebody says to you—
But I do have a bit of the imposter effect, right, which is the opposite of Dunning-Kruger. You know a lot, but you feel like you don't know anything. I have this thing where I feel like if I understand it, everybody understands it, and anybody could understand it.
Yeah, I get that. But what I mean is, you have a thing where you don't react when someone says do it this way instead of that way, because your reaction is thank you for taking the time.
Yeah.
I don't mean taking the time, for giving the time.
Yeah.
Thank you for being generous by stopping and explaining something to me. As if you're just you're Huck Finn and you're painting a fence, and the guy's not going to help. He's not going to paint the fence for you, but he's going to stop and go, put an extension on the roller. You won't have to bend over and get it in the pan and then reach up again. I spend my whole life saying to everyone, no, don't paint by holding the roller and going all the way up and all the way down the wall. Get an extension on there and step back. It's so much easier. And then don't put it in a pan. It just sloshes out one side when you try it. Put it in a bucket. 5-gallon bucket, put a screen in it, put it in, ring it on the screen, then step back and do it. Somebody taught me when I was 19 to do it that way. I've given 700,000 people that discussion. Now, every once in a while, I get the, this is how I do it.
Ugh.
And I always know that's a dumb person, like stupid. And also kind of like, fuck you very much. Like, what do you think I am? Like, lording this painting information over you that I learned when I worked for A&M
Records.
Right, makes
me feel superior somehow.
Painting the fucking cyclorama when I was 19 and making $7 an hour. Now I'm the teacher. The student has become the master. Or am I just fucking telling you how to do it? I'm getting on with my life.
By the way, again, being generous with your time and your effort to share that information.
Right. So I would hope that you know what I constantly do?
Hmm.
There's a guy at the other shop. His name is Sean, and he's a very good fabricator. And he's very good at problem solving. He's very good at whatever. And when you build race cars and you fix race cars, you're running stuff and you modify stuff all the time, you just run into shit all the time. There's just shit comes up all the time, and it's not a go online, go buy it, go fix it. You got to make it a lot of time. And you know what I always say? I do a lot of this. I just go, Sean, come here. And I go, stand next to me. I go, good. Now I'm going to say out loud what I want to do, and then you tell me
how that works,
why this isn't going to work or why it is going to work. But I'm just going to go say out loud what the plan is because the tire's rubbing the fender. I want the tire to stop rubbing the fender. I have a plan.
Yeah.
Now you tell me why it's not going to work, or if it does work, nod your head. But hear me say it. I'm not going to walk past you and go, I'm the boss. I got a plan. Right. Get out of the way.
Right.
I don't want to do it twice. So I don't know why people won't do that, or why that makes them into somebody.
It's almost like sort of problem solving, engineering, scientific thinking has become anathema. It's just something you can't do. People can't do it. It's weird. It becomes interpersonal, or it becomes a power imbalance, and therefore we can't listen because now there's power involved.
So again, the successful people I know go, here's what I want, here's what I'm doing, tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. Now you then talk to these millennials and they say what? Well, I'll load that up.
All right.
And
go ahead.
You tell me what's going on then. First I'll tell you about LifeLock. New FBI report citing internet crime complaints with losses over $1.4 billion. Top two crimes reported were non-payment, non-delivery, and personal data breaches. Let's take care of it over here, huh? Nearly 2,000 complaints were about ransomware.
Jeez.
So many threats in today's digital world. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now includes the power of Norton Security for added protection. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help protect against identity theft. Like if your info is for sale on the dark web, that's what they're going to do. They steal your identity. They put it on the dark web and they sell it. Norton helps protect against online threats like ransomware. If you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it. They're the best. They're LifeLock, right, Drew?
No one can stop every cyber threat or prevent all identity theft, but new LifeLock with Norton Security can uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Join now, and for the first year, get an additional 10% off the low starting price of $7.99 a month. That's right. That's nothing. Plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com, enter promo code Adam. That is promo code Adam.
All right. So you were saying?
I was saying that which question are we talking about now?
Whatever.
The Dunning-Kruger thing. Yeah, I was saying I sort of have the imposter effect, and so I feel like if anybody could, you know, if I can understand things, everybody should be able to understand them. And that makes me a little impatient with people, which is not good, or a little confused when people don't grasp things that I understand, because if a dummy like me can get it, anybody should get it, number one. But then when people don't – when people have an overinflated sense of their abilities or their knowledge base – It scares me. That seems like a dangerous thing, because you can't change, you can't grow, you can't develop, and you're going to make major errors in terms of, because you don't know what you think you know. There's this significant sort of knowledge, not knowledge, but wisdom and information. Yes, knowledge gap.
Mm-hmm.
And I when I think about my kids are millennials and young people, and I think they're. They're coming off of that a little bit, and I noticed Douglas in law school, that cured him, because mm-hmm. you just when you get to start downloading so much information and you know you didn't know that before, you start understanding, okay, well, that's – I thought I knew something, but I didn't. Now I start feeling like I don't know a lot, right? Which is a healthy sort of posture as opposed to I know everything, I'm an expert, and defensive if you take issue with me not being an expert. Does that make sense?
Well, I was telling you last show I'm going to marry Mike Rowe.
Yeah.
I am a little broken record here, but I really believe in – you know, like you believe, like I think anyone would say, look, a good, sound physical regimen is healthy and it's strong and it you know, like a kind of a Teddy Roosevelt, you know, I have pugilism or something, yeah. You know, it's a kind of a I have, you know, Renaissance man, you know, you should grapple with another man and then go read Socrates and Plato or something,
right,
like a base, like
yeah,
a physical base, you
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that being involved and having some even glancing sort of expertise and sort of how to put things together gives you a base. Like, it makes you live in a world where things have to work and there has to be an A, a B, and a C. And you can't really just go, well, let's just agree to disagree and walk away from the project. You know,
so interesting.
We're getting further and further and further away from the thing that sucks. Like, it's just like good horse sense kind of stuff. Like,
yes.
When you're trying to make something work and you're kind of out in the field and you have to make it work. It's not really about your opinion anymore. It's about a problem, and it's a MacGyver-esque situation.
I had not thought about that because I'm not a mechanical guy, but that makes sense to me that would be another interesting way into the experience of knowledge, right? Knowledge experience. It's, you know, you have to experience it, not just read about it or look it up on a Google search, but. I don't know.
You'll never be able to look up problem solving.
Right.
You'll look up what do you do when you get a herpes sore in your mouth or something. You'll look that up. But you're not going to look up the day-to-day problems that come up when you're trying to build something or trying to fix something
and that's really what a lot of life is about, right, is sort of – it's problem solving, whether intuitively or otherwise, whether it's you're a business person or a clinician or whatever, you're solving problems.
Well, when you deal with a group of people, so when you deal with in this sort of tangible mechanical world, those guys don't make proclamations about here's how I feel and someone should do something about it.
I think that's why this whole thing is bothering me, because it implies an inability to have. You can't even have a discourse about that. So
right.
How can we have a discourse about?
Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying. You ready, Joe?
Yeah.
You sitting?
I'm ready.
You listening?
I need a solution.
When I see a problem, an emotion. Now, I was just doing something with rims and tire sizes that it fixed.
I'm shocking.
I'm literally taking
thinking about wheels.
Wheels apart and moving in tires and stuff like that. But okay, it has a little clearance issues. Solve it. Now, here's the thing. When you talk about horrible, 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 worst person in the world, the Asian doctor on the plane, that
the guy screaming when he's being hauled off of his poker tournament,
fucking diaper of a filled diaper of a human being, that horrible, despicable human being. When you start saying, this guy was on the plane, we should have done a better job, somebody should have done something. Anything but this. I don't say nobody deserves to be treated that way. Nobody gets on a commercial aircraft ever thinks they're going to be dragged off the plane nose first by thugs. I don't do that. You know what I do? I think mechanically, how does this work?
Yeah.
You have a guy sitting in a chair, in a seat on a plane. You have a security officer saying, we need you to get off of the plane. Now it's purely mechanical. I'm not into, nobody deserves to be treated. I don't care about how anyone deserves anything. I'm broken it down to like a mechanical equation, which is this guy has told you two dozen times to stand up and walk off this plane. Now, here are all of my equations. That's not working. Now there's another equation. what if I gave you $1,000 worth of vouchers? Would that work? There's a physical part where we physically pick you up and remove you, but everything is mechanical. I don't sit around and go, well, they just needed, they got to do a better job. And then someone goes, what would you suggest? And then you go, I suggest they do a better job.
Right.
Like, that's not, and the part where you say, you make proclamations that I hear all the time, like, no student should go to middle school and come home in a coffin. Like, I do love those assholes. Like, they literally, like politicians, like they make proclamations. Yeah, you go to school, you don't expect to be shot with a semi-automatic round.
Really? Don't? Not.
Hold on. Where's my steno pad? Can I call you hero?
It's not a- like,
I'm trying to solve a problem. I'm not asking about what most students deserve when they go to school.
I got to tell you.
No student deserves to go to school and have shit smash in their ear, Drew. How about it?
Well, you didn't go. Look. You didn't go to school planning to have shit smashed in your ear that day,
no
did you?
No student deserves that.
Did you go to school planning shit in your ear?
You know how hard it is to hear the lesson plan when one ear is clogged with human fecal matter.
That's just, no student should go to school expecting that.
Nope. No student deserves that.
Oh, no. Wow.
They don't deserve it. Hey, Matt, when you were in the 11th grade, did you go to school wanting to have fecal matter smash into your impacted into your ear?
No, sir, I did not.
Did you deserve it?
Most certainly.
Matt,
all right.
Matt Woodenhara's
right. Well, I'm a hero. Now we're done.
Truly you are,
right.
Sir.
All right. Let's speak of a hero. Let me tell you about nightstand.
No,
everybody.
Woman gets on an airplane thinking to be sucked
Father's
out of the window.
Day.
It's like, yeah, I know they don't, but I'm trying to figure out how to solve
Father's
this.
Father's Day is coming.
Father's Day.
Does your dad have a mess of cords for all his devices? We'll help him organize.
Dad.
And charge with Nightstand, NYTSTND. No vowels there, NYTSTND. Best-selling quad dock that charges everything. Apple, there's over 20 different models from 2 to 10 devices. That's right, 2 to 10 devices per dock. Charge your iPhones, iPads, Apple Watches, and more all at the same time, all together. And if you own an iPhone 8 or an iPhone 10, Nightstand, NYTSTND, has all of your wireless solutions. That's right, do it wireless and Android solutions available as well. Again, 20 models, 2 to 10 devices per dock. Charge iPhone, iPad, Apple Watches all together. It is Nightstand. It's beautifully handcrafted, started by a young entrepreneur couple here in America. No big Chinese company, none of that ZTE. Don't have to worry about the tariffs because it's all here. That's right. It is Nightstand. Right, Matt?
Take advantage of Adam and Dr. Drew's exclusive Prepare for Father's Day sale. For our listeners only, get 15% off any order over $80 by using the promo code ADS at checkout. Go to Nightstand.com, NYTSTND.com, and get that perfect gift.
So I had this crazy conversation with my daughter. And so I said, doesn't it, you know, the lack of the Me Too thing, great. But do we ever worry about the lack of due process? I said, look, it's the same phenomenon as being accused of a communist back in the 1955, you're accused, you lose your job. Same thing with now with racism or with Me Too, right? You're accused, you're guilty. That's it. Lose your job. Just like when it was communist. And there was no social media to amplify the message. But if somebody in the public accused you of being communist, there was no need for any sort of data to be accumulated. It was done. And she went, yeah, well, this is women. It's time for women to stand by. I go, yeah, but it's fine. It's good. But do we really want to use the same procedure as that Mr. McCarthy used to campaign on his campaign against communists? Yeah, well, women have been abused for years, and now it's time. I go, yes. But what about lack of due process? Well, it's because
– yeah, that's where we're at. It's good
and that's
times.
It's okay. But whenever there's no due process, history is not particularly kind to that, typically, right?
Yeah. Well, also, the thing about McCarthyism, I'm not a student of it, but I mean, communists were looking to destroy us, I'll say. They have a pretty rich history of destroying everything they get their hands on. One could argue that there's been a higher body count communism than there was for, you know, Hitler and many other forms of oppression. So communism is a bad thing. And I get You see, it's been brought up before, but like when people go, oh my God, Japanese American internment camps, what were you thinking? Well, we were thinking we got bombed and we're freaked out and we rounded up Japanese Americans and we put them in a camp because we're freaked out. So it's like what we talk about. It's like Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Like, what were you thinking? Well, we're trying to end a war. Like, you do these things in a bubble mm-hmm. of, hey, we just went around and started rounding up Asian people. And then you can go, but those were American citizens. And I get like all that. And I go, you're right. They shouldn't have done it. Or they should have figured it out. Or they should have went there. Now, by the way, I'm not so sure how any other nation would have. I'm not sure what Japan would have done in 1941 if somebody bombed their harbor and you happen to be an American family living there. You may have been rounded up and it could have been worse. History shows it could have been worse. I don't know what the bar is you're holding us all up to. I know if Japan had a nuclear device, it would have set it off in Times Square. So what is this bar that you're holding everyone up to? But what were we thinking kind of thing? Well, it's like communism was scary. They were looking to rule the world. Lots of people die under the hand of it. And I think somebody was overreacting here about people being involved with communism. But at least communism was evil. Now, you disagree and you're out. It's not even about being hurtful anymore. It's you disagree with the way they think and you're not allowed to work. At least McCarthyism was based in something, which is there's a bad thing that's going on. We'd like it to not spread. And then people overstep their boundaries trying to prevent that from happening, I guess, you know. But it was, again, I don't know what went on before Pearl Harbor in terms of rounding up Japanese. It was a reaction to something. McCarthyism was a reaction to something. An overreaction, but a reaction to something that was evil.
This is all reaction to, for sure, and it's also an overreaction, right? Let's talk to this caller. I wanted to get her on the phone.
Yes, I'm not talking about Me Too per se. I'm talking about just literally disagreeing politically with people these days. You lose your job.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's talk to Amanda.
Hi.
Yeah, I mean, we'll walk around Hollywood and tell them you're pro-life and see how often your phone rings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's considered radical now. All right. Sorry, Amanda. Go ahead.
That's okay. So my question is, I've basically gotten myself into the situation over the last 3 years. I'm currently still married. I have a relationship with someone else for the last 3 years. And my question basically is, what am I missing in my life that has driven me to make these decisions?
You're in a estranged marriage or you're in a normal marriage?
Yes, estranged marriage.
Are estranged in the sense emotionally, or are you actually living separately?
We live separately.
Well,
but you're not divorced.
Not divorced, but my boyfriend that I've had for 3 years doesn't even know about that.
And does he think you're divorced?
Yes.
And what went into the decision about divorce? Why no? Really, the question here is why no divorce, right?
Basically finances.
All right, so that's a reasonable reason to stay married in name only.
Do you have kids?
Yes.
How are those kids doing?
Well, we kind of, between their dad and I, we work out when they spend a couple, 4 days with me, and then they see their dad every weekend.
Right.
When we still do family time and stuff together, but this other person just has no idea.
How does the other person have no idea if you have kids and were married?
I guess he's that naive.
Was he? Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's not interested in knowing exactly what's going on.
Maybe he's got. Maybe he's got something else going on too.
Well, maybe. Yeah.
Well, I don't get it. You go out and do family time stuff. What do you tell your current boyfriend?
That I'm going out with her dad and the kids.
And he does. That doesn't bother him.
Doesn't seem to.
Does he ever want to be part of that?
A part of
going out, meeting your kids, that kind of
thing? He has asked, but because I'm, I don't want to, I guess he's put in a situation where he finds out that I'm still married.
How often do you?
Well, I don't, hold on a second.
It's very complicated.
My Dumbo parents were broken up for 10 years, but they were never divorced. Yeah. two Dumbos living in different parts of the valley. Nobody cared. They eventually found other Dumbos to date and did that. It was they're broken up. I don't know. What's the difference? You need a certificate or a documentation or something? What? You're estranged from your husband. You're not getting back together with him.
I mean, if you were living with your husband, that'd be a totally different story. But you're estranged. You're separated, and you're entitled to date. It's I mean,
why the examination of this, Amanda?
Because I guess it's been this long. And it's like, okay, like he has no idea that I'm still married, and I feel like I'm living a double life.
Well, why don't you?
You're not living a double life through your actions. You're living your double life through not having a piece of paper.
Right.
Right. Well, I guess I never thought about it like that.
Or what do you tell this guy? What do you tell do you say that we're going to get married one day, or I love you? Or
no, I don't talk about that at all, because my last divorce went the way that it did. Not my last divorce, but my last marriage went the way that it did. I just don't. I make him think I'm uninterested in being married again.
Your last divorce?
I've only been married once. So
this one.
And well, I'm still married, yeah.
I love the way you bring up divorce when you're talking about not telling him you're not divorced.
Wouldn't
be confusing to us.
Does your ex-husband or your estranged husband want a divorce?
Yes.
So why not get one?
It's finances, really.
Wait. He wants one. How is your financial situation going to change? Maybe it's totally different in Texas. I don't know. That's where they live.
No, it's just, I mean, he still supports me and the kids. So.
How is your financial arrangement going to change, except improve probably, if you get divorced?
Right. It's just paying for one, I guess.
How is... Amanda, you're not answering my question. He wants a divorce. He's the one that has to shoulder the financial burdens. Your situation is going to improve. Why not get a divorce?
I don't know. I guess we just have it.
All right.
Well, if you are not willing to think about it or answer a simple question, I don't think you're going to progress through this in any meaningful way. You're certainly eventually going to need to come clean with your boyfriend if you stay with him in some fashion.
I'm getting a good vibe from Amanda. What's going on with you, Amanda? There's some little angry, little something
it's
with
deep.
Guys.
It's deep. It's really deep. That's all I'm saying is what am I missing in my life to have gotten to, like, be in this situation?
Well, there's something. You have some energy with men. And I don't know if your dad abandoned you or he probably cheated on your mom and you feel like you're trying to get some control back or something. There's something, some energy with you and men. What'd your dad do? Did he come and go? Did he have a situation like this?
Yeah, my dad was very come and go.
Perfect. So you've recreated that. Well done.
Thank you.
Have you been accused?
Hold on.
Wait.
I don't like to talk about me.
I know.
But I don't do the come and go. I don't do come and go. I do you never knew your dad or your dad was abusive.
Yeah.
I don't do the come and go thing.
Yeah, you got the feel.
But I got the feeling that her dad kind of came and left.
That makes sense to me.
Amanda?
Wait, so you don't like that answer, but it makes sense to you right now? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm
over the moon with the come and go. Tell us an example of your dad coming and going. I'm sort of...
My example would be he would leave for like 4 or 5 days and my mom would kind of drive around the city of Houston looking for him. And most of the time it was because he was doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would wake up, we would wait all night for him to come home.
Right,
he wouldn't come home 4 days later.
I want to hear a little more, yeah. Then what?
So he'd come home, they'd fight, she says he's never doing it again, and then it just kind of repeats itself like throughout my whole life.
All right, so there you've recreated it now in your romantic life presently. Well done. You've now become more identified.
Did your dad leave for good at some point?
My mom finally divorced him last year.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, my God. How many
years? So he was coming and going all this
for
time?
For 25 years. So you're going to do that too? Same plan, Amanda?
Is that what I'm doing?
Well, I think so.
Yes.
Would your dad go out for longer than 4 days?
I think 4 days is the most I remember.
So you've got to either deal with this. You got to deal with this trauma. My other question for you is: do people tell you you tell a lot of untruths?
Yes.
Yeah, your Amanda lies a lot. I can tell. And so we got a big problem here with all this trauma and lying and bullshitting and obfuscating. Are you an addict yourself?
No.
No.
All right.
But you've adopted some of those behaviors. So you really need some help.
So you got traumatized, Amanda. Yeah. What your dad did was very traumatic.
And then the lying that you've adopted is not going to serve you well.
Let me tell you about TrueCar.
They never lie.
They never lie. You can come and go in your TrueCar, by the way. Starts every time. You want some tips? Get the weight out of that trunk, man. Get the junk out of the trunk. Put some air in those tires. Another tip you might not know, TrueCar also helps you get used cars. With a certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience. Whether you buy new or you buy used, see what other people paid. Lock in your price. Apples to apples. Again, interior, extras, whatever it is, options, make sure you're talking about the same car. Where the op for the fire-breathing four-banger that our own Matt the Porcelain Punisher has in that Honda. Or you want something a little more sedate like that Vore V6. Enjoy a faster buying experience. Connect with your TrueCar certified dealer. When you're ready to buy new or used, you always go TrueCar. All right, Drew, what do you got there? You got any business there?
I do have some business, but I wanted to just finish our conversation about the Dunning-Kruger. So
oh, Dunning-Kruger.
All the way back to the
How
beginning.
About me? How about a weird come-and-go feeling?
Hey, how about me?
Ahead?
I don't accuse people of being a liar very often. I caught
that's
a that
four.
Right, I caught that
I
right
got
away.
The coming-and-going part.
Yeah, that was good.
What coming to the Dunning-Kruger thing?
Well, no, why am I so bothered? Here, you can analyze me. Why am I so bothered by it? I'm really troubled.
The definition in 9 words.
Dunning-Kruger is the lack of ability to assess your own ability, essentially. So you think you know more than you do. You think you're more skilled than you do. It's what let people get up on American Idol and sing like shit and go, "Hey, I sounded great." That is just
simple immaturity.
That's what it feels like.
That's what
some
kids
of it.
Do.
Well, that's what they're doing, a lot of them. But it enters into the discourse. That's what's bothering me. You can't have discussion and argument when people don't open themselves to the growth. It all is very rigid and, you know, it's not how I feel, man, and who you're not the boss of me. And it immediately comes right back in sort of unproductive ways.
Yeah,
That's why I brought up that conversation I had where I was like, hey, let's look at how this procedure is. You really want to be associated with a procedure, a phenomenology that was, you know, one of the dark periods of history? Same phenomenology, but act that out again. No.
Yeah. No. It doesn't it's sort of my feeling of like I'm not interested in talking anyone into anything.
I just want to have a conversation about it.
I didn't want to do that. No, what I mean is I want to show them that I know how to do what I'm doing. I never wanted to talk. I never had
a lot
a feeling
of talking for somebody
that I wanted to talk about.
Wanna...
Drew, speaking of coming and going, you're going to be leaving Dexter. Bruce is going to be coming in here. If
I keep coming down on you?
No, I got into show business by boxing. And the reason I got into boxing is the guy who owned the gym said, you're not boxing here. Get out of here. And I said, I'll work on the gym. Just let me teach you. I'll teach class for free. Just like, let me show you.
Yeah.
I didn't yell, you're not the boss of me. All I said, let me show you what I can do.
Okay.
And that's it. I showed him.
So should I be showing them or they be showing me?
Look, here's the thing with these kids. They're in trouble because they're caught in between wanting a kind of a lifestyle and seeing all that is out there. And then the work and the misery that it takes to get that, to earn that kind of lifestyle. And that's a big... That's something they have to reconcile that they don't get. You can't talk your way into that lifestyle. You have to misery earn your way into that lifestyle. And it's a whole bunch of guys going, I want to be Mr. Olympia. Here, let me take my shirt off. And you're looking at a guy with man titties and spaghetti arms. And he's like, let me explain to you why I should be taking that trophy home. And you're like, you can talk all you want. I'm looking at you. And he's going, no, here's why you need to respect me. And you're going, you got to get in the gym if that's what you want. He goes, I don't want to go to the gym. I've been there. It sucks. So let me tell you why.
This doesn't suck. Stamps.com. These days you can get everything on demand. It's part of what's causing this problem. like podcasts and information that leads to the Dunning-Kruger effect. But you can get postage on demand with stamps.com. Of course, I think people are aware that you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package at your own computer and printer in your bedroom, at your desk, wherever it might be. Then the mail carrier just picks it up, click, print, mail, and you are done. All of us use it. It's an excellent – I mean, it's just part of the – advancement in things. This is, of course, the way it should be. You don't have to go to the post office. Anything you can do at the post office, you can do with stamps.com. And right now, use the code ADS for up to $55 in free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Digital scale, of course, you can plug it into your computer, weigh any package or letter, and know precisely what the postage should be for that particular item. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, there's a microphone at the top of the right page, the right top of the homepage, so in that right corner. Click on that microphone and type in ADS. That is stamps.com. Enter ADS.
All righty. Tomorrow, Aladdin Theater, Portland. Second show. Tickets still available. We're taping that. We're filming. It's going to be well lit. I may waste. Yeah. I may wear something nice.
Oh, no.
It's a big evening, everybody. And go to Chassis, two S's and a Y over there, and pre-order Uppity, would you please? We're very proud of that bad boy. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all you need, Drew.
Go to DrDrew.com. It's all there.
So, until next time, AdamCarolla for Dr. Drew Saint. Mahalo.